Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Shanghai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Happy Good Friday to you. QT and Shanghai with you as normal. Still no live events happening, so we'll skip that portion of the show and we will get right to our guest because he is here to continue Freak Show Month. Darkness, welcome back to the program.
How's it going?
Doing very well. Now, since it is Freak Show Month this month, obviously you are a part of the Freak Show. Can you tell us how it came to be that you were invited to become a member of the Freak Show?
When I got started with the Freak Show, there was that time period where I had just coming back from my injury, and Big Vicious and I were still a little upset with each other. So there was still a little animosity, but when they stole that book that controlled me, the Book of Darkness, Big V was there to take it away from Jimmy Boy, and basically it reforged our friendship, and that's when I shortly thereafter received the invite to join the Freak Show. Was once they stole the book back, and I was basically under my own volition able to make decisions on my own again, I was given an offer to join the Freak Show.
That book remained a mystery to fans. We never found out what was in that book. What was it in the book that guided you? Was it a cookbook? Was it a diary? Was it someone's last will and testament in book form? What did you have in there?
The Book of Darkness actually goes back to when I first debuted. And the mastermind, who was my manager at the time, actually used it to control Darkness and to basically, you know, he was out at ringside and he had a walker, so he was unable to wrestle himself. And he basically used me as his instrument of destruction and controlled me and the forces of Darkness through the book. So that the Book of Darkness stems back from when I first debuted in wrestling.
Were there a lot of pictures in the book?
There's some. Mostly symbols and, you know, the handprint and a couple of icons and stuff like that. Mostly, you know, passages and stuff like that that enable the user to control and dictate what the Force of Darkness does.
You mentioned your previous manager, but everyone that has followed the Freak Show knows that Paul Freakshine is the current manager of the Freak Show. He has managed you in a number of both tag team and singles matches. What do you think of the job that Paul Freakshine has done?
I tell you what, I mean, when he was with I don't know what you want to call it, JB, PJ, LB, whatever, the Moonshiner kid, the stinky one in the coveralls. When he was with him, he was just kind of out at ringside, didn't do much, and, you know, he wasn't enough to be eye candy, so he wasn't really doing anything. Once we got a hold of him and we were able to talk to him, we were able to unlock this whole other aspect of Paul Freakshine. So once he got out there and we let him know, you know, you're there for a reason, you know, either make yourself an asset or get out of here. And he's done that. He's done that ever since. I mean, he would just literally stand there and watch the matches with JB. Now he's there and he's, you know, giving us our little moments of opportunity. He's distracting the ref so we can get in a couple extra shots. You know, if we're choking somebody and we need more than a five count, he's up on that apron getting referee's attention. So I think that once he's joined us, he actually increased his value tenfold. He's actually doing stuff out there now, and he's been a great asset for us. So I think it's a win-win for everyone around.
I'm just shocked that you would try to use Paul Freakshine to lure away an official in charge of officiating the official matches of the official company officially.
I am officially dumbstruck that you would think that I would, in any official capacity, not try to get and implement any type of advantage I could in a match.
Well, it's against the rules.
I have never once in my entire tenure in the sport of professional wrestling seen, been issued, or been read passages from the rule book.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing that really exists.
They, yeah. They say that, but like I say, I have never once seen it. And, you know, I have no idea where this thing comes from, but it's almost as mysterious as the Book of Darkness.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll have to get you some eyes on that book then, but it's out there. Now, the Freak Show has been spreading its wings in the last several months. The Freak Show is not only taken blue-collar wrestling by storm. They've gone down to Power Pit Pro Wrestling in Roseburg, Oregon, and they have had a reign of dominance there as well. What's it been like going down to Power Pit for you?
Power Pit's been great. Zach is, you know, he's got a history down there, and he needed some extra people, some more backup. So he, you know, talked to me and V, and he got it all put together so that we could go down there. And we did exactly as he planned. We dominated. We have pretty much every title that they offer. So, yeah, it's been great so far. It's nice to, you know, kind of spread out and just take over more areas. So we got basically most of Portland. We're slowly making our way past Salem all the way down to Roseburg. So, you know, that's pretty much all the only important parts of the state. So I say we control the state of Oregon.
All right. Now, there was an incident at the last Power Pit Pro show, and Paul Freakshine temporarily lost the Hardcore Championship. What was going through your mind when the Freak Show didn't have that title for several minutes?
To be completely honest with you, I don't even know when that happened, while it was happening. I mean, I've gone back and I've watched it and stuff like that. But I believe I was in a Rumble at the time. And, yeah, I mean, they kind of – say that we take advantage of the rules and everything like that, but I mean, who goes out there and pins Paul Freakshine in order to win the title? So they word it so
Moonshine.
Okay, Freakshine. Sorry, it was snafu. Sorry. Anyway, but yeah, it's funny because they word it in such a way that they can actually take advantage of it. So any member of the Freak Show can be pinned for the Hardcore title. They initiate and implement that rule, and then they come out and they make the cover on Paul Freakshine. So, you know, I mean, if you want to talk about bending rules, everybody does it.
You mentioned that Rumble, and I missed it at the time. I was in the back studying the Power Pit Pro Wrestling rule book, actually, because it was my first time there. But apparently, you had a run-in with a guy by the name of Nkikama or Nkukama or something to that effect. I'm unfamiliar with him, but I understand he came right at you, and you brawled for several minutes in this thing. What can you tell us?
What's the name of this guy again? What is it? I'm a Kuma.
Nzakuma, I believe, is his name.
Okay.
I hear he kicks a lot. That was all I was told, but I missed the whole entire match because I was studying the rule book.
Well, you know, I was out there. There's a lot of people that came through. There's a lot of people making their debut in that show and their first time in wrestling that night. So, you know, I didn't take the time to memorize everybody that was coming out there after me.
You should always memorize them. That way you have the Rolodex file in your head. And when they come at you from behind, you'll know their weakness ahead of time.
You punch somebody in the throat, that's pretty much a weakness for everybody.
Maybe. And also in that same match was a pain in my side, someone that I have a bounty on, someone that apparently thought he could win that match. Darth Carter was in Roseburg. He attacked Big Vicious, your buddy pal. Big Vicious took him out of the match very quickly. Had you come across Darth Carter very often?
That was actually my first interaction with Darth Carter. He came out to the ring, and it was during the Rumble, and he was just laying there. So I decided, you know what? I'm just going to airplane big spin him because I can't differentiate between the two. And I just started spinning him around. And luckily enough, Draven Vargas was just picking up on the cues and he came up and kicked Darth Carter in the head while he was being spun around. So it worked out for us. But I remember Darth Carter. I don't know if Darth Carter remembers his
that
night.
Point. That was in the Zuma that you big spun, as I recall having seen the footage and the Power Pit Pro recap video.
Was that it? Okay, see, I'm getting these guys come out in these masks and it's all a blur, you know? So if I got Darth Carter mixed up with, apologize, but we spun somebody around and they got kicked in the head, so that's what I remember.
I saw that in the footage. That was great. Now, that idiot Darth Carter, he jumped Big V. He was throwing rights and lefts and eye gouges. Big V just muscled him right over the ropes, just ran him right through the ropes.
I remember being out there with V for a little bit, yeah. I mean, we were kind of staggered, unfortunately, so we couldn't really put together a game plan for eliminating people. But, yeah, Big V always does well in Battle Royals.
He is a big man, and usually the bigger men have the advantage in a battle royal. Now, in your time in wrestling, you've hit the point where you are more of a veteran, and the veteran wrestlers tend to look at the younger talents and help them along. They try to figure out the strengths and the weaknesses that the younger talents have and try to help them refine their skills. As someone that is looking at the younger talents out there today through the eyes of someone that's got more experience now, what young talents out there that have maybe 2 or 3 years at the most do you think are going to be the superstars in this region in the next few years?
that I've seen recently, Caleb Rex is pretty good. He's decent in the ring. I've wrestled him a couple times. So he's got his attitude problem already, though. That's the thing with these new guys. They come in and they get a couple wins and, you know, they forget. They need to get that experience down because someone's going to catch them with some move that they don't know of yet or they don't know how to counter. They haven't quite reached that class yet in training. And they'll get taken out pretty quick. But Caleb over in BCW would be one of them. And then another one that's looking pretty good so far is Real Talk. And he debuted the first time I saw him was the last Power Pitch show. And then the following week, he was down at BCW. So he's covering some ground, too. He's getting himself out there. And, you know, he does stuff that I can't do in ring. So I kind of like watching the stuff that, you know, I could only dream of doing. You know, I'm not climbing no top rope or moonsaults or anything like that. So the guys that can do that, I like to watch. And, you know, he's exciting to watch. And, you know, he's getting it taken care of as far as, you know, business aspects of wrestling. So, I mean, he's already covered two different companies in the state. So he's looking good too. So Real Talk and Caleb Rex would be two of my choices.
Now, Real Talk has hit not only the promotions you mentioned, he's hit a number of companies in the state of Washington. He's been wrestling for a couple of years now. When you see guys like Real Talk and like Caleb Rex and some of the younger talents that are traveling 6, 7, 8 hours to get to a show and then back, and they're doing it every week, is that something that you had experience doing, or do you see the young kids doing it now and you have an opinion on the amount of matches that they have right now available to them?
When I was starting out, I was lucky enough. I mean, I only got like a match a month or so. And then I was lucky because my trainer, he would get booked someplace and he would bring a handful of guys with him. And I was lucky enough to be on that roster of traveling wrestlers for a time. And this is back in California. So, you know, we would wrestle down in the desert and in LA and then go all the way up to Northern California, right around San Francisco. And we would wrestle there. And that's like a 6, 7, 8, you know, 10-hour car trip at times. So getting in as much experience as you can in as many different places as you can is always a benefit, regardless of, you know, how much time you got to put in to get it. But the thing is that if you have the opportunity and you can manage to do that in this day and age, by all means, it's a benefit. Do it if you can. Because, I mean, Real Talk's got Washington. He's come down. He's hit Portland. He's hit Roseburg. So, I mean, for being in the business and getting that experience, he's doing what he needs to do. And that's great, because if you can get it, do it. It's not going to hurt you. I mean, all you're going to do is benefit from it.
Unless you actually do get hurt.
Well, yeah. I mean, day in and day out, the odds aren't in your favor, but, you know, you're going to get injured, and it's just something that happens as part of the business. But getting the experience in, you know.
Well, we've hit the part of the show where we have a game we like to play. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I'll give you a series of two options. The one that is your personal preference is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Sounds good, yeah. I'm ready for it.
Here we go. Claw or armbar?
Claw.
Dropkick or enziguri?
Dropkick.
Tights or singlet?
Tights.
Candle or flashlight?
Kendall.
Superman or Batman?
Batman.
Water or whiskey?
Whiskey.
First blood match or last man standing match?
Last man standing.
DDT or Brain Buster?
Brain Buster, if you can pull it off.
The final one, hip toss or arm drag?
I like hip toss. We'll go hip toss.
All right. As someone that has been around for a while, obviously you've been on several shows where there has been some blood loss during the course of a match. Blood has been sort of a controversial subject within pro wrestling in the last few years, as we medically know some of the more ill effects that can happen. Some people are definitely all for having blood in matches. Some people are totally against it. Some people think it depends on the time and the circumstances of it. Where do you sit on the issue of blood in professional wrestling?
Well, I personally, I don't like to bleed. If I'm going to be the only one that does it, that's a different story. But in a lot of these matches you see, you get every person in the match just starts bleeding all over the place. And, you know, in the sport of wrestling, you got to have faith and trust in your coworkers. So, you know, you got to kind of go out and have faith in everyone being on the up and up as far as that's concerned. But, I mean, there's a place for it. There's, you know, it tells a good story for the most part if it's necessary, or it can enhance a story, or, you know, sometimes it just happens. So, you know, whether it's hard way or whatever, you know. But it, working with somebody who is almost part of their persona, you know. I mean, working with me for as long as we worked together before he was thrown out of the freak show, it was just like a regular occurrence. It was just a regular thing. And, you know, I've mopped up plenty of floors at the BCW arena, so we didn't get yelled at after a meat match. But, you know, it is what it is. And if it's used correctly, then it's a benefit. But if it's just overplayed, then it starts to lose a little bit of its impact.
Of all the people that you have seen on shows in person, who would you say wears the Crimson Mask the best?
Let's see. It's a toss-up between, I would say, I mean, Meat would be one of them, of course. But, you know, you see it so often, it's just kind of a thing. But the first time I ever experienced it, it was, I think, my second or third match in the business. We were doing a memorial show, and they had a death match between Supreme and Willie Mack. And that was actually the first time I'd ever witnessed it as being part of the business. So Supreme getting busted open would be my other choice for that one. Just because, like I said, it was such an impact on me because it was the first time I'd actually seen it live and in person happen. So, I mean, that was probably my most memorable one. And then, like I said, the one that wears it the best probably would be me, because it's, like I say, it's almost part of him. It's part of his whole thing.
Now, you talk about having gone down to Los Angeles, working in California, and, of course, up here in this area, you've worked for Blue Collar Wrestling for quite some time and Power Pit. Obviously, you've seen some pretty good crowds at certain shows. What would you say, just ballpark, would have been the biggest crowd that you've ever wrestled in front of so far?
The biggest crowd I would probably say would be I forget the official title of the show, but it was the BCW show with Kevin Sullivan and the Honky Tonk Man. I remember that just being so insane. We had people standing shoulder to shoulder behind the seating against the wall, and there was people still out the door waiting to get in. So that was a pretty big one. I try and remember the official name of it here.
It was Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
There you go. You got it. You're the encyclopedia. So
I actually get asked about that particular show more than any other thing I've ever done.
Really?
Yes. I blame Roku for that because it's up there on the Roku.
Ah, okay. So it'd probably be a toss-up between that one and then the Piper Palooza show we had, the second annual one. So Kevin Sullivan was also there.
Yes, he was. Now, I don't know if you ever saw us. It might have been a little bit before your time in BCW. Did you ever see J.B. Moonshine doing Roddy Piper against Tex Thompson doing Stone Cold Steve Austin?
No, I don't think I ever saw that.
You need to look that up because J.B. Moonshine's Piper was absolutely perfect.
All right. J.B. Moonshine as Roddy Piper. I shudder to think.
Yes. I was shocked. I thought I was talking to Roddy Piper momentarily, but I was not. I was talking to J.B. Moonshine.
Oh, wow. See, I mean, the thing about that, there's such a history here in Portland that I kind of missed out on coming up from California. Like, I mean, there's like an old adage in the mafia business of people that have shaken Sinatra's hand being a big deal. And it's like here in Portland wrestling, you get people that have shaken Piper's hand. You know, he is like the person for Portland wrestling. And unfortunately, I missed any opportunity to meet him. But, I mean, that's cool because I'm sure JB had some experiences with Roddy Piper. And to be able to have an homage to him, I guess, that's pretty cool. Like, it's, you know, I'd like to see that, actually.
It is on the YouTubes.
Well, I will check that out.
And I believe I'm 98% sure in this that JB actually had the formal permission of Roddy Piper to do that match as Roddy Piper.
That's cool too. I mean, like I said, I missed out on a lot of these guys and the history of them being out here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I missed out on Top Gun being out recently. So, you know, I just keep missing all these opportunities for these history-making people that have been through.
Top Gun as well as C.W. Bergstrom all in one match.
Yeah. Yep. That was the last BCW show before everything went crazy.
It definitely was. Now, I've noticed that you have some rather unique-looking tights that you wrestle in. Everybody in wrestling's got their go-to as far as a gear maker. Where do you go to for your wrestling gear needs?
Originally, I went to a lady on, what is that place called? The storefront that they have. Like, it's not quite eBay, but it's, I forget what it's called. I forget the storefronts, but I typed in what I needed and it came up and she was a seamstress in Las Vegas and I pitched the idea to her and she's like, yeah, I can make those. And she sent them out and those lasted me probably 6 or 7 years. But the most recent set that I have that you're referring to, I actually picked up from Elucha.
Elucha, good to know. Now, just so you know, if your tights get torn or damaged, Congo Kong no longer fixes Elucha merchandise.
Oh, okay.
Just going to put that, he'll make you anything you want, but he no longer repairs Elucha merchandise just because so much of it was getting damaged within a match or two.
Okay. I was stuck because the gear that had lasted me so long, you know, was starting to go on the way out, and I couldn't find anywhere else to get it done. So, but yeah, you told me about Congo Kong. I forgot about that.
Search him out right away. The best gear man in the business today, and I believe several blue collar wrestlers have gear being lovingly made by the hands of Congo Kong as we speak.
I will look into that one, definitely.
Well, at this point in time, QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions galore for you, so I'm going to pass things over to the capable hands of QT Vokes.
Thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Darkness.
How's it going, QT?
Not too bad. Pretty good. Darkness, I'd like to expand on Sign Guy's word association, if I may. Are you ready for round two of word association?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Deep fried Twinkie or turnbuckle turmoil fruit pie?
You know what? I would have said deep fried Twinkie, but since I have finally gotten my first fruit pie, I'm going to have to go with the fruit pie.
Oh, okay. All right. Donald Trump or Gerald Ford?
Gerald Ford.
Okay. Now, is this based on the fact that there is a aircraft carrier in the U.S. Navy named the Gerald Ford, and we will probably see an aircraft carrier Donald Trump in 2040?
No, it is based off of The Simpsons, who, at the end of the episode where Bush was his neighbor, Gerald Ford moved in afterward, and they got along just fine.
That might have been in the top 50 of all Simpsons episodes of all time.
I remember that one. It sticks with me after all these years. So, it was a good one.
Now, were you a big fan of The Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors, which is wrestling related?
Yeah. I try to catch those every year. If I only watch one episode, that's the one I try to get.
Oh, okay. Well, now, did you happen to see The Simpsons episode where the Ramones were on The Simpsons? The Ramones.
That is actually one of my favorite scenes in the entire series, where they sing Happy Birthday to Burns, and he turns back to Smithers, and he's like, have the Rolling Stones killed. Yes, I love that episode.
Was one of your favorite parts of that was when the real Johnny Ramone said, up yours, Springfield.
Yep. I'm a huge Ramones fan, so it's funny because way back when you're growing up on The Simpsons, you would get weird little cameos like that. I remember when Bret Hart was in it, I was like, what? It's such random people coming through, but it was nice to see the Ramones kind of doing something mainstream.
Do you know that I once sang Happy Birthday to Dash Venture to the tune of the Ramones? It was a seminal moment in history.
I did not know that.
I based it off the Happy Birthday song of the Ramones on The Simpsons. I sang that to Dash Venture. I consider it my finest moment.
That's awesome. Yeah, that would be anyone's finest moment.
Okay. All right. Well, to continue with word association, USA track and field or English soccer?
I have no idea on any of them, but I'm going to go with soccer.
Okay, soccer, because of the hooliganism in the stands. Okay, very good. Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley?
Happy Days.
Happy Days, okay. Billy the Kid or Wyatt Twerp? Earp. Wyatt Earp.
I'm going to go Billy the Kid.
Okay, Billy the Kid, very good. Greg the Hammer Valentine or Don Morocco?
Morocco.
Morocco, okay.
Yep.
King Kong Bundy or Leapin' Lanny Poffo?
King Kong Bundy.
Okay. Roddy Piper or Goldust?
I'm going to go Piper on that one.
All right. Booker T or Jerry Lawler?
Go Jerry Lawler.
Wow, okay. Jerry Lawler. Okay, Shawn Michaels or Lita?
Shawn Michaels.
All right, and that concludes phase two of word association. You did very good, Darkness. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. There were no right or wrong choices. I say that to our Buckle audience, okay? Well, Darkness, have you kept up with the much-improved band, Fozzy, and the improved voice of Chris Jericho?
I have heard a couple of the new songs, and I think I listened to the entirety of the first album.
Okay. All right. Very good. I myself think they've taken it up a notch, in my opinion.
I remember when they first came out, and it was almost like they were kind of like their gimmick was they had written all those old songs and they had lost their visas in Japan or something like that. And so all these other artists and bands stole their songs. And it's funny to see it evolve into something a little more serious and become like an actual real band that gets booked on big shows and everything. It's nice to see.
Now, there was a seminal moment in Raw history on Monday Night Raw when the hosts were ZZ Top and Chris Jericho came up to them and said, "Hey, I enjoyed all your work. Perhaps you've heard of my work with my band Fozzy." And Billy Gibbons and the other ZZ Top member with the other beard, they got confused looks on their faces, and you could see them mouthing, "Fozzy?" Do you remember that moment?
I remember ZZ Top being on one of the shows. I don't distinctly remember that part.
Oh, okay. Well, you have your homework assignment to look up Chris Jericho and ZZ Top encounter on Monday Night Raw.
All right. Sounds good. I will do that.
Okay. All right. Now, speaking of ZZ Top's as hosts, in WrestleMania 36, The host was Rob Gronkowski of the Patriots, while in WrestleMania 35, the host was Alexa Bliss, and in WrestleMania 34, the host was The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Woods. Based on the hosts of WrestleMania 36, 35, and 33, which one would you prefer most? Rob Gronkowski, Alexa Bliss, or The New Day?
I'm going with Alexa Bliss.
Wow, okay. WrestleMania 35. Okay. Any particular reason why you picked Alexa Bliss and WrestleMania 35 over the WrestleMania 33, The New Day?
I just remember Alexa Bliss having a legitimate moment where I cringed watching one of her matches and she was able to dislocate her arm. And if you can make me cringe by watching a match, I mean in the bad way, not in the, "Oh my God, this is a terrible match" way, then yeah, that sticks with you. She's got my respect for that.
think would win in a match, Alexa Bliss against Dark Carter would be the winner there. Oh, I think I faded out. Darkness, who do you think would win in a match between Alexa Bliss and Darth Carter?
Alexa Bliss.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's all right. Well, Darkness, are you familiar with the tag team of the Spud Brothers of Wrestle Club Idaho and their mascot, Bernadette the Chicken?
Only minor. I haven't heard much. I know of them. That's about the extent of it, though, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you might want to have a second homework assignment of watching the Spud Brothers on YouTube, along with your other video that I gave you, Chris Jericho's interaction with ZZ Top on Monday Night Raw. I'll give you a double assignment.
Oh, man. Does it count for extra credit?
Yes. There may be a fruit pie in this.
Ah, okay. Then, yeah, I will look both of those up. I remember there was a guest of the show during the month where it was Skull and Bob, and wasn't the Chicken one of the guests that month?
Chicken Bob, yes.
Chicken
yeah,
block.
Okay. Okay,
yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darkness, you mentioned earlier to Sangai about the Book of Darkness. Do you believe that the Book of Darkness has had about as much influence on society as Donald Trump's bestseller, The Art of the Deal?
Probably not. No, the Book of Darkness has got 0.0001% of the readership that Donald Trump's book did. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Darkness, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what liquid beverage you partake of in your long trips down to Roseburg, Oregon, for Power Pit Pro Wrestling? What's your favorite drink?
We usually make the stop over at the Burger King along the way, and they have Surge in the machine, and I haven't had Surge since the 90s. So whenever I get an opportunity, and since we always stop there, I'll pick up a Surge from the Burger King fountain drinks.
Oh, Burger King. All right. Surge. Okay. Very nice. All right. Well, Darkness, racehorsing is a big business in America. We have horse races like the Belmont, the Preakness, and the Kentucky Derby. There have been several funny racehorse names throughout history, like, oh no, it's my mother-in-law, or may the horse be with you, or Red Hot Philly Pepper, and also the horse called Passing Wind. My question is, if BCW were caught in a black hole and the arena and the occupants became or found themselves in the Kentucky Derby infield and all the wrestlers became horses, what would Kane Jaden's horse name be?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to throw one in, Manowar for Kane Jaden. Okay.
All right. Okay.
So Paw Freakshine is in the black hole and finds himself in the Kentucky Derby as a horse. What would Paw Freakshine's horse name be?
I feel bad because you put so much work into this question, and I have no idea what to say.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to assign him a name. Old Paint. Old Paint.
Old Paint.
Old paint, yes. Okay. Any thoughts on what the name for Caleb Rex would be?
Isn't he known as the Thoroughbred already? I mean,
that could be, yes.
Yeah.
If that name sticks, that's fine, but I'm going to go with Woofy.
Okay.
Okay. All right, well, Darkness, the horse itself can weigh between 380 to 1,000 kilograms, depending on their breed, age, and height. But they are balanced on ankles that are narrow and small. When they sprain an ankle, they are often referred to as lame, and if the ankle sprain is very bad, they are often put to sleep. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners if you yourself have been lame, like a horse?
Well, I mean, I guess I would be considered. When I broke my leg during a match, that would be considered I went lame. I mean, or if you can ask the fans, they usually say I'm pretty lame too. So.
Oh, okay, but you've never been put down. That's what I'm getting at.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darkness, we often talk on the show about how many BCW championships a BCW wrestler has captured and their win-loss records. But quite a few wrestlers at BCW end up blowing their money at the Dancing Bear or seeking shelter on Burnside. Who are the more successful business people as wrestlers at BCW? Who are the wrestlers that are like Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man? Would you yourself be at home on the Forbes 500 most successful businessman's list for BCW yourself? That's what I'm getting at.
No, I would not be. I'd be down at the bottom of the list there. No, I don't think I'm very business savvy or successful for Forbes to take consideration.
Okay. I only asked this because I myself took referee T-Rex to the Dancing Bear strip club after an event. Yes, and blew some money. Oh, okay. Well, Darkness, do you believe we will ever see a wrestler making his or her debut at BCW and his or her name will be social distancing?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard of worse. So, no, I mean, any type of buzzwords or phrases seem to get turned into a wrestling persona somehow.
Okay. All right. I could see Matt Leiske adopting the persona of social distancing. Matt Leiske. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. He could form a faction and it's just him and it's called social distancing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darkness, if you could travel back in time and be in the ring with Chris Masters, do you think you could break the Master Lock Challenge?
No, not if I traveled back in time. Maybe if I traveled forward in time, I'd have a shot.
Okay, forward in time. Okay. Why do you think Val Venus had so much trouble with the Master Lock Challenge? Val Venus.
Probably because it was upper body strength and not lower body strength that was needed to break it.
Ooh, very good. Okay. All right. I mean, he did a little bit worse than Mark Henry, who broke the Master Lock Challenge. Mark Henry. The central thing. Yeah. Okay. Well, Darkness, I'm going to turn it back over to the Sun Guy. Thank you for your participation in Word Association 2.
Sounds good.
Back to you, Sanjay.
All right. Well, Darkness, you mentioned the fruit pie that you received UT is famous for these. There's not been any live shows, so I think QT has held off issuing any further top 9 7/8 weekly Pacific Northwest wrestler rankings. But once he resumes, what do you think you have to do in order to ensure that you continue to receive regular fruit pies?
I just got to be better than everybody else. Like I said, for some reason, that one week, it just caught me by surprise. I don't even know what I did. But, and it wasn't even a fruit pie. It was a chocolate pudding pie. So, but it was good all the same. So just keep doing that some more, I guess. I don't know.
Correct answer was intimidate QT until he hands over his pie.
I would have done that years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's terrified of the sidewalk slam, just in case that helps.
Oh, I can do that. That's no problem.
Yeah, I got to check my chin.
I talked about where you got your gear earlier. A lot of wrestlers also take a lot of pride on what they have as far as weight and conditioning equipment, especially now when it's very unique circumstances and gyms have closed down everywhere. Wrestlers still have to maintain cardiovascular shape. They have to maintain their size and their strength. So when the word comes down that live events can resume, they will be physically ready. What have you been doing as far as maintaining conditioning and making sure you have what it takes to still be in shape enough to wrestle?
I've just been staying as active as I usually am. Simple stuff. There's heavy things to lift all over the place, so that's all you got to do. I mean, you're never too far away from a washing machine or a refrigerator.
Are you saying you might lift up QT's refrigerator and shake out all the fruit pies?
If that's where he keeps them, that might be an option.
I believe it is. QT, can you confirm? QT is faint. He is fainted from fear of you choke slamming him, hitting the sidewalk, and shaking his refrigerator.
Not that effect.
You did on this day for sure. Now, like we've been seeing, you've wrestled in California and in Oregon. To my knowledge, you haven't ventured to a lot of different states so far in your career. Is there any region of the continent that you haven't gone to yet that most interests you to go wrestle?
Idaho.
I wouldn't mind wrestling in Idaho. I mean, that'd be a good place. It's just connecting the next state over. Yeah, that sounds good. Idaho.
I happen to work there. I can put in a word.
Spike Brothers.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so I'm going to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you want, merchandise, social medias, any favorite to-go food place, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Unfortunately, there's not much going on right now in the world of wrestling because, you know, we're all stuck inside. If you want any of the social media platforms or anything like that, I got a website that lists them all. It's https://beyondthenight80.wixsite. It's wixsite.com/darkness. And it'll bring you up to all the news going on, show dates coming up. shirts, merchandise, a little blog on there, pictures, video, all the stuff that's going on. Being stuck inside, I got bored and put together a website. So that's it. One easy address, and you got everything you need.
Well, fans definitely go search out the website, maybe buy some merchandise to keep you occupied here while we're waiting for shows to resume. Darkness, as usual, it's been a pleasure having you on, and when shows resume, I'm sure I'll see you in a dressing room at some point, sometime, and I'll talk to the management there in Idaho for you.
All right. Sounds good. I always like coming on. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Fans, definitely check out Darkness when shows resume. He is usually found at Power Pit Pro Wrestling in Roseburg, Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, hoping to make his way to Wrestle Club there in Idaho, and check the website on a regular basis, get updates. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Sunday, we will be joined by new co-host JB Moonshine, as we have as a guest Julie Winters out of Alaska, the first female independent wrestler out of Alaska. And then 1 week from today, we continue with Freak Show Month. Our guest will be Paul Freakshine. So join us then. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.